Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem. Welcome back to today's Daf Hayomi. Meseches Tmura Daf Chav Tes. We begin on the second line off the top of the Yomit. Amar Rav Tuvi, Bar Masna Amar B'Yeshia. Minayin L'muktze Min HaTorah. As we learned yesterday, the Mishnah followed by the Gemara, if one designates an animal for Avodah Zarah's service, even before it was worshipped, it's considered mukta, set aside. Mukta means set aside, hukta, right? And it's unfit to be used as a carbon. We had one source yesterday, followed by another. Here comes a third source. Minayin l'mukta min haTorah shenemar. The pasuk says regarding the daily tamid that is brought in the Beis HaMikdash, tishmeru, it should be prepared, looked after. Lahakriv li b'mayadai. We learn from here, kol she'osim le'shimur, it's meant to be designated. The Gemara at this point figures the pasuk is instructing that in order for a carbon to be fit for hakrav, it has to be set aside, designated. We're speaking about a carbon on the mizbeach. Maskevla abaye. Elamiyata. So you mean it has to be prepared and, you know, properly fed and in anticipation of that event. Maskevla abaye elamiyata. If that's the case, that one needs to prepare the carbon in advance of the hakrav, and that's the only way it's fit. Elamiyata. If that's the case, imagine he grabs a sheep. A scrawny, meager sheep from the field. That doesn't work as a carbon. Isis, Imra, Ditsuma. So he brings this sheep, Imra, the sheep, Ditsuma, this scrawny, Valiyavale Shima, without preparing it in advance, without fattening it, without, you know, all that advanced preparation. It's not going to be fit for a carbon. Amrali, he says, no, that's not what I meant. Ano tishmeru lahakriv li b'mayadoi kamina. I was stressing the word li. The pasuk is saying only a carbon which was labeled for me, for Hashem, is fit. To imply from here li v'loy l'adan achar, as opposed to something which had been earmarked for another, so to speak, master, pseudo master, like avodah zarah. Veizo achar shemakriven loy. Who's the achar? Who's the other deity, so to speak, right? That they offer to, that's the idol worship, which of course is a fake deity, but that's the implication of the pasuk. So the point is to teach us that an animal which had been prepared, designated, earmarked for Avodah Zarah purposes is unfit any longer for akrav asa karban. Tishmeru li v'lo yiladin achar. Amar Rava bar Rav Adam, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak. So they designate the animal, they feed it in advance of the, and then it's been a long time and they started using it for other purposes. Can that muktza status expire? So we learned something about that yesterday. Here goes. Amar Rava Barav Ado Amar Vizra. In muktza asra la'ad shiav du boy. Yeah, so it's only us until the ministers, they use it for their own purpose. They start working with it, and then we know it's no longer designated for idol worship. It loses its mukta status. Ula Rabbi Yechanan. Likewise, Ula quotes Rabbi Yechanan. The mukta status is only intact. Ad shim seru ula kaim Rabbi Yechanan. Until it's handed over to the priests, for them to eat. So at that point, certainly they will not offered it as an offering to Avodah Zarah, and it's going to lose its mukta status. Beha, there was a chacham with that name, Beha, who quotes Amar Rabbi Yechanan, Ad sheyachilu karshini avodes kechav. And until it's only mukta until they start feeding him. The animal feed, the karshinim, the beans. And they're fattening it for the sake of the priests, prepared for a good meal for the ministers. At that point, it's no longer designated for Avodah Zarah. So the question was whether he's disagreeing with Ula's quote of Rabbi Yochanan, who says all you need to do is hand it over to these people for personal consumption, and he adds, no, you have to actually show and act accordingly, to start feeding it, fattening it for that purpose. Is there a disagreement? Amali Rabbi Abba. So Rabbi Abba approached Beya, Labeya. He says, Gisu atunat Ula, you in disagreement with Ula? Amar Le, he says, no, actually, that's exactly what Ula meant as well. It's not enough to redesignate it. You have to actually show to start feeding it in advance of the party. Amar Le, he says, no, Ula Nami, Ula as well. Kika Amar, he also meant this way. Kika Amar, when he said that it's, you know, be given over to the ministers, he means that they start feeding it with that in mind. Who the Shafile, once they start serving it, Karshine, you know, the feed of the Vizke Chavim for the sake of the ministers, enjoy, you know, for a meal. So, Amra Biab, wow, Yada Beya Lishnu Yishmaita. I'm impressed. Beya got it right. He was able to resolve this apparent conflict between his own version of Rabbi Yochanan's position and Ula's. It's all one and the same. He got it right. He had this clarity because he came to Eretz Yisrael, and this chus of Eretz Yisrael afforded him that extra clarity that he was able to reconcile this apparent contradiction. V'iloy the Salah Kosam, if not for him ascending up to Eretz Yisrael, which endowed him greater depth and understanding, loy hava yod, he wouldn't have had this clarity. The Eretz Yisrael, because being an Eretz Yisrael, garmaloy, that caused him, that gave him that extra depth and clarity. Amar le Rab Yitzchak, no, he had that clarity before as well. Beya mikan o mikan hava. When he was still in Bavel and Eretz Yisrael, doesn't matter, wherever he is, he was the same level, Talmud Chacham, he would have had this ability before and as well. Here comes another quote from Rabbi Yochanan in terms of the point of expiry of the Muktzah status. The Tani Rav Chananya, or some just say Tani, it's like a new statement, Rav Chananya Trita, Kamed Rabbi Yochanan, he presented to Rabbi Yochanan, a Muktzah Asher Lachiasa Boy Masa. The Muktzah status only exists until they do a Masa, an act, to show otherwise, to undo that status with Tanila. So the same Chacham who presented the Halacha of Adar Amar explained it, my Masa, what does Masa mean? What's an example of an act which shows, you know, reverse indication? Achi Gozeis V'Avdaboy, when they start sharing again, working with the animal, then we know it's no longer meant for idol worship. Ezeu Nevad. Okay, so we have next to this qualified animal is the Nevad, the animal that was actually worshipped. And the Mishnah points out, it's only unfit for a korban, but it's still kosher for personal consumption. And the question is, how do we know that? How do we know that an animal that was worshipped does not become affected for personal use? Only inanimate items, but not living beings. How do we know that? How do we know that a baal chai, a living being, that was designated or worshipped, becomes unfit for Hashem, Sakrava, but is okay for personal use? Omar Papa, Omar, the Pasuk says in Yecheskel, it's a general directive. You want to offer something to Hashem? Make sure that it's something that's fit for your consumption. Mimashke Yisrael. Something which could be drunk by, something which is fit for personal consumption. Minamutor Yisrael, only something which is permissible for us to consume. So the question now is, why do we need all these psukim to disqualify the muktzah and the nevad for hakrava? If in fact it's also for us to use, then automatically, by default, you can't bring it as a carbon. Oh, apparently it's okay for us to use, and only unfit for our carbon. If in fact it's also for personal consumption as well, why do we need these extra psukim to disqualify it from Hakrova? Ma'atinu, Migavai, it's already disqualified by the very fact that it's also for us. Asks the Gemara, is that a bona fide rule? That whenever something is also for us, automatically it's also for Gavaya, and we don't need another pasuk for that purpose? I'll give you an example. Treifa. We know that a treifa is also for us to use. We had a whole Masechas Chulin about it. And then we need a new pasuk to disqualify from Akrava. Why? If in fact your rule holds true. Whenever something is forbidden for us to use, it's unnecessary to have an extra pasuk to disqualify from Akrava. But Treifa, the Asir Lehedit, Treifa is also for us to use. Umate Krova Gubai, we need a special pasuk to disqualify from Akrava, the Sanya. As the Brisa teaches, Kshuaymer Min HaBakar Lamata, later on in the Pesukim it says Min HaBakar, what's Min HaBakar? Shintam language is an extra pasuk there. Elohit is a treifa, disqualified treifa from Akrova. Well, says the Gemara Yisrich, in that case it's different, we do need a pasuk, despite the fact that it's already also for us to use. Because Salka, that there's room to think. It depends what kind of treifa. Hanibila, when do we say that a treif animal is also automatically from his bech, since it's also for us? Hani mili the nitrif of achakach niskacha. Maybe that's only when the treifa condition preceded it becoming hegdish, becoming a karban. Aval niskacha v'achakach nitrifa. Let's say it was already a karban, then it became a treifa. Maybe that's not so terrible. Eimon to start the tishter with gavaya. Maybe that's okay for a karban. Hence, a new pasuk min habakar to disqualify even that. Ask the Gemara. But there's a third pasuk as well to disqualify a treifa from a krova, v'machanaf, because the issur of a treifa in this type of situation, learned from this pasuk. So you're telling me that if the treifa occurred before it became hegdish, it's also because it's also for us. Of course, it's also as a carbon, v'machanaf, because that learned from there. We have another pasuk kol asher yaveh tachas hashevet. This is a pasuk by Mas or Behema, you're counting them out, 1 to 10, and we learn from there. Only an animal which is full, unblemished, that could walk, that's not missing its, you know, its thigh, which would make it a treifa, brought the treifa Shein Eiver, as opposed to a treifa which can't pass by, it's missing its thigh, which is one of the treifas, as others learn. Treifa is critically wounded, so it doesn't have that full life force to, you know, run by with its full power. In any case, that's a new pasuk to disqualify a treifa from being designated as a korban. The question is, why is that necessary? Well, says the Gemara, it's also necessary because we have another variation as well that we have to address. Another variation of treifa, a third one. Ha'udam Yisrael, that pasuk is needed as well. Because if only from the previous pasuk or psukim, Sakadai Dechamina would think, Ha'ani mili heichad lehoisel ha'shasak kosher. Maybe a treifa is only unfit if it was never potentially fit for a korban. For instance, it was born in a treifa state. To know the treifa me'ima, who was born as a treifa out of its mother, but let's say it was okay, it was healthy for a while, and then it emerged into the world, was born healthy, and then it became a treifa. Perhaps you can use that as a karm, kamashmal, that's when you need a new pasuk, kala shayavar, to disqualify even that. Okay, so it turns out in general, once we know something is unfit for us, we can't bring it as a carbon. And the very fact that we need a pasuk to disqualify a nevar and a muktzah for a carbon indicates, teaches, that in fact it's muta for us. As to the question, why do we need so many pasukim for treifa, to address different scenarios, born treifa, treifa happened before hegdish or after hegdish, all of them are possible for carbon. Continues the Mishnah. So what else do we have on that list of disqualified animals for korbanos? Back on the Chav Ches, we had Esnan and Mechir. How do we define these two statuses? Ve'ezo Esnan. What exactly is an Esnan? So he turns to the immoral woman and he says, Heilach, Taleh zech zebischar. Here, take this sheep as your fee. Afilu hein kuf. Even if it's 100 at a time, kulon asurim, they all become asur as an Esnan. An Esnan Zoyna is also for a carbon. The Gemara will ask, what's the Chiddush in 100? I mean, if that's your fee, then that's in exchange for the experience. It's Asr. The Gemara will discuss that. Continues the Mishnah. Some take out the word Bechein. Ha'aymer l'chaveri. Reuben turns to Shimon and he says, Heilach Atleza. Here's the sheep. V'tolun shevchasecha etzel avdi. I want your maidservant to spend time with my slave. Is that considered Esnan Zoyna? Rabbi Eimer, Eina Esnan, it's not called an Esnan. The Gemara will explain the reasons for this. V'cham Eimer, it is an Esnan. Amar Mar, Rafilu Hin Meyo. Kulon Asur, Mishnah stresses, even if he forwarded to her 100 animals as her pay, they're all awesome. The question is, well, I mean, why not? What's the difference if it's 1 or 100? Hey, Chidami, what exactly happened? What was the determined fee? Ilim with the Shakla Agra Mea Behemoth. If her fee was set at 100, Pshita the Kulua Asiri. Of course, they're all Asir. Why even mention it? Mali Chad, Mali Mea. What's the matter if it's 1 or 100? It's her fee. It's the Esnan Zoyna. Lechrich must be speaking the Shakla Agra Chada. Her fee is 1. Chada, 1 sheep. And he gave her a bonus, an extra 99. So I would think it's just a gift. And it doesn't relate to the actual experience. It's not considered a fee for the Maase Isser. The answer is no. Although he initially only committed to one, but now he expanded it. And it's all considered pay for the Zayin. Kamash Malon, the Kulu Mikoyach Esnan Kaosu. They all have the status of the Esnan, and they're considered Esnan. Tan Rabba, here comes the Brisa. No son law, V'loi Boila. So the fellow gave her the sheep, but never spent time with her. Boileha, V'loi No son law Esnan. Or he spent time with her, but never gave her the Esnan. Mutar, it's okay. Says the Gemara. What do you mean? No son law. So he gave her the Esnan, but never visited her. Esnana, curiously, why are you calling it her Esnan? There was no act, there was no fee, there's no Esnan. But so furthermore, what's the second case all about? So he spent time with her, but never gave her anything. Of course, and he didn't give her anything, it's nothing to talk about. Mayoivla, what do you give her? Elohi Tani. We have to re-explain the Brice like this. In the first case, Nosan Lo, he gave her the sheep, and afterwards Bo'aleo. So it wasn't like it never happened, it happened later. So we're changing it to V'achakach, not instead of Loi, it never happened, it happened but later, a later date. It wasn't that direct exchange, direct pay. He gave it to her, and then later they spent time. In the second case, likewise, Bo'aleo, he spent time with her, V'achakach, on a later date. Nosan Lo, Esnan, he gave her the gift. The pay. Mutter becomes mutter. Mutter it stays, mutter doesn't become an Esna. So our understanding was that it was Veloy. It was this and not that, that not this, and the question was if there's nothing going on. The answer is there was. Everything happened, but sequentially. Okay, so now let's go back to the first case. He gave her the Esnan. And then v'achakach bo'aleo. Fine, so what happened later? Who cares? But v'lechol aleha, alei, esnan mafriya. Retroactively, this is considered pay for the experience. So I understand, let's say in the case where he spent time with her and then he sent her the thing. So Rashi explains, in that case, since he wasn't miyachid, he didn't earmark it. So when they spent time together, this wasn't yet earmarked, wasn't yet labeled as her pay. So I understand that's not considered an esnan. Even though he gave it to her later, it's a matana. It's a matana ba'alma. Right? Even though they both know it was an account of the experience, it doesn't matter. Because the isra of esnan is a very, very specific type of... It involves a very specific procedure. It has to be an direct exchange for the activity. As opposed to if the experience happened on Sunday and he hadn't yet designated anything for as pay, and then money he sent to the sheep. Although we know it's a pay for the thing, but that's not considered direct. It doesn't directly relate to the masa. It's considered like a matan. That's understood. But in the second case, we don't understand. He gave it to her on Sunday. He spent time with her on Monday. It's true that he gave it to her before the experience. But now that the experience happens, during the experience, that sheep that's been given to her for this purpose should now be designated as an Esnan. V'leicho alei Esnan ma'afrei, retroactively. What she has should be an Esnan. right? It's been revealed to us that he gave it to her initially as an Esna. Omar Belazar, you're assuming that it's still around. It's not here anymore. He turned on the base. She quickly jumped ahead and she used makriv as a carbon. So he gave it to her on Sunday. And then right away, she offered it as a carbon. And then Monday, they had the experience. It's not around anymore. Okay, now we understand why it's not an Esnan. Says the Gemara, hold it. How could she even do that? You can't take somebody else's animal as a carbon. Hey, chedomi, what exactly happened? Inema da'ak nialei nialo la'alter. Are we speaking that he granted it to her? He gave it to her to own right away on Sunday. Pshita de mutter. And of course it's mutter. Da'ak nialei ba'aleo. He never spent time with her yet. So the gift was given to her on Sunday to keep. Even though it was in anticipation of Monday's experience, it's irrelevant. If it was hers to keep, to the point that she could bring it as a carbon, then of course it's not an Esnan. Oh, so it must be that when he gave it to her on Sunday, he says, okay, this is pending Monday's experience. You only have it on Monday. You can only acquire it on Monday. Until then, you're not the owner. So the question is, fine. Now it has some sort of Esnan ring to it. You think maybe it's an Esnan, right? But, you know, that would explain that discussion, why we're having that discussion. But how could she bring it as a carbon? You're telling me the only reason why it's not an Esnan is because she already offered it on Sunday. How could she do that? Mimotza Makarva, how could she bring it as a carbon on Sunday? It's not hers yet. Mimotza Makarva, Ishki Adish is basic Kodesh Lashem Amrachman Torah, in describing a person donating, you know, to the Beis HaMikdash, refers to a person's house. That's the prime example of a donation. What defines one's house? It's his domain. Ma Beis HaBishus is just like a person's home. It's his domain. It's his domain. In his domain, Afkol Bishus, likewise. You want to be Magdash something? It has to be in your domain. It has to be yours. So how could she be Makrib something which wasn't yet finalizes hers? Like Tzricha must be speaking like this, something in between. The Omer law, he gave her the sheep on Sunday on account of Monday's activity, right? And he told her, look, the Omer law lemeknei loch achaspi, I only want you to acquire it when we have that experience on Monday. But if you really need it, v'mitzrich loch, if you really need it before nikni loch ma'achshav, we'll have it from now. So I'm leaving it up to you. Okay, so I would think maybe it's an Esnan, because the fact is it was really meant as payment, you know, it was meant to stay pending payment until Monday's experience, and directly relate to that experience, which would make it an Esnan. But the fact is, since he gave her that option of being kind of beforehand, and she exercised that option, she took it for herself and she was makrivit, that saved the day and the carbon is kosher. So that's if she was makrivit. Now comes the question, let's say she was just magdashit. Suppose she only donated it as a carbon, right? So she chapped her on Sunday, she made it a carbon. Is that spirit or not? It's still considered directly relating to the experience, and it's considered an Esna. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rav Chista. It really depends. Lekash, here's your answer. Ha, the Amar lo, he bar li betalei ze. Brayse number two, which considers it an Esna even way after where it was labeled. Spend time with me betalei ze. So he designated this item as the payment, in which case she is considered to have acquired it at the time of the experience, so it's considered directly relating to experience and becomes an Esna. Whereas the previous price that does not consider it an Esna, the Amarlo, he told her, he bought spent time with me betelestam, without specifying which sheep. And since it was not earmarked during the moment of Bia. It was only given later. It's not considered directly relating to the experience, and it's not an esnan, and it's fully fit for a carbon. Now, when he said talazeh, so the reason why it's an esnan is because she gets it at the moment of the experience. V'mochaser mashicha. She needs to make a kinyan, physically, you know, bring it into her possession. Until she makes that active acquisition, it's not really hers. So why is that considered an esnan? It's true. He designated it. And theoretically, she can have it at the moment of the Isra, but she hadn't made a mashicha at the time of the Masa, only later. The answer is, b'zoyno ivedes kichov. She's a goy, d'loikani b'mashicha, who acquires not by way of physical acquisition, rather through kesa, through payment. In which case, she's considered the owner of the animal at the moment of when they spend time together, because that's considered like she's paying him for the animal. So since she could be kind of with kesef by way of payment alone, it becomes hers at that moment, considered directly relating to the act, and it's an esnan. Boisim, another way to answer it. Philip Zen Israelis, even if the woman is Israelis, where kesef is not sufficient to acquire. So how does she get it at the moment of the Ma'asa Isra? Going to Koi, the Koi Bechatzer, was speaking of the animal situated in her property when they spend time together. So she's Koina at that moment when they spend time together. It's considered directly related to the act. It's considered an Esna. Okay, so let's relate to this case. He earmarked it. Here, take it as payment for the ma'asa. And it's in her chatzar. Says the Gemara, "Hayahav lo miyikara." So why is the Braisa calling it ba'aleh? They spent time together, and then he gave it to her. No, he gave it to her beforehand, and it was hers simultaneous with the act. And what? And also, what's the chiddush? What's the Why do we have to highlight this case? I mean, it's pretty straightforward, case of Esna. He gave it to her and became hers at the time of the beer. The answer is like this. It's not so simple. There's another factor at play. The Shavye lo apoiteki. He didn't give it directly as payment. Apoiteki means apoi on this, tekoi, my obligation should rest. Meaning, Vamarle explained to her, it's a collateral. If I don't pay you, you'll take this. So it's sort of a pending payment, which is only realized later down the road when he doesn't actually pay her. So that becomes her payment, sort of, you know, retroactively. And the chiddush is that it's considered nesna, even though at the time we haven't really, it wasn't really confirmed as payment until later. But then it becomes realized retroactively as the actual payment for the ma'aseh and directly relates to the ma'aseh. And she was koinit at the time of the Masa, because it was in her chatzar and given to her with that in mind. And that's why it becomes an esnan. So a lot of factors at play in it. In fact, it's a chiddush that it's an esnan. The shavu le'apoyitiki v'amalo im ad yoyim ployni yohibna loch lichzuzi. You know what? If I pay you until such and such day, mutav, that will be your fee. If I'm love it otherwise, teleh besnanich, you'll take this sheep as your esnan. So since practically she couldn't take it until later on, but once she takes it, it's not being paid out now. It's retroactively being paid from way back during the Masa, in which case it directly relates to the Bia, which makes it an Esna. Okay, so I'll just recap. The second case of the Braisa was Ba'aleho V'achakach Nasan Lo. So first they spent time, then he gave her the esnan, it's mutter. We explained that there was no designation. And therefore it's not considered directly relating to the ma'asa, and it's not considered an esnan. It has the din of like a matana, versus the other braisa where he actually designated it, said this is going to be your payment. And either it's a guy who does not need mashicha just by way of kinyan kesa, so she's kind of directly during the act, and either it's a Israelis who's kind of through kinyan chatzar, but it was not poetiki, so practically she only gets it later, but it was revealed l'mafrei retroactively as her being her pay. So that's what the braisa means. Even though she only has access to it until afterwards, it's considered an esnan. Okay, so we have learned that the esnan is the animal that was handed over as payment for this illicit union, and it relates directly to the union, therefore it's considered possible for a carbon. Now, what's the identity of the individuals involved in this union? Amarav, echad esnan zohar, even pay for being involved with a zohar is considered an esnan, echad esnan kal arayis, or all other types of women are considered arayis. Also, it disqualifies the item for karba. Chutz me esnan ishtenit. One exception is the esnan given to one's own wife for a forbidden union when she's a nid. Why is that different? It's a forbidden union. Why is it different than the other ones? My time. Because in describing this item, the Torah calls it esnan zoinu. Zoinuksif. A woman who is a deviating woman. Volav zoinu. One's own wife is not considered. It's not labeled as a zoinu. Fact is, it's just a limited time prohibition, in which case, it doesn't qualify. Even in this case, consider an esna. My time, you know why Teva exists? Because in the pasuk of the esna it says Ki Toyavas Hashem Damo. Well, Teva likewise, Ishtei Nida is considered under the umbrella of Teva because it's mentioned together with all the other arayis in the Sukkim Pashas in Chumash VaYikra, which are all called the Teva. He call it Teva Yisaelurim. So big machlokes in Rav, who says Ishtei Nida is not considered, versus Levi, who says it is. Ask the Gemara of Levi, Nami Yaksiv Zoyna. What does Levi do with the word Zoyna? Which indicates that only with a Zoyna, not with one's own wife. I'm a loch. Levi would respond, Tahim, the Pasuk Zoy is the word Zoyna is coming to teach us something else. Zoyna. The payment to the woman who's a zoyna, that's asur. V'loy zoyne, as opposed to if she pays him for a union, that's not considered, and that's not for the psul mizbeach, for Rav. Now Rav, who already used the word zoyna to exclude the ishtanida, hahi zoyna, v'loy zoyne, and olay has, you know, to exclude the gift over to the man, nafkele mid the Rebbe, he learns that from Rebbe. Sanya, Rabbi Yom, Ein Esnan Osur, Elokol Esnan Abos Leibavir. So Rabbi says, Esnan is only with reference to a union which is absolutely forbidden without any permissible option. Aval Esnan Ishtanida, but his own wife who's a Nida, that has a permissible option after a little while. So that's not inherently a forbidden union to the same extent. And likewise, or let's say he gave it to her as a payment for lost wages. It wasn't directly relating to the union, but it's payment for lost wage. You know, she lost work, she lost time. She's paying her for her lost time, for her lost work, lost wages. So that's not considered an esnan. Esnan has to be direct payment for the union itself. Or if she, the woman, pay the man off. All these are mutarim. Even though we don't have a clear-cut proof of this this point, that the gift to the man is okay, we have some sort of indication where Yecheskel HaNavi is admonishing the Bnei Yisrael for straying after the idols, and they consider like they compare them to women. Who was it? You offered like the gift to the Avodah Zarah. Usually it's the gift to the woman. It's usually a gift to the woman, not to the other side. You gave the esnan to the deserve of esnan and it wasn't given to you. It's opposite, just to exactly the opposite of the way it typically is done. So we see from that pasuk that typically the gift is to the woman, That's considered an esnan and not the reverse. Ask the Gemara. Now, Varav who says that by ishta nida, it's not an esnan. Hai toyeva ma'avidli. How does he apply the word toyeva, which indicates that it covers all the these types of illicit unions? As we find by the Pasha Varayas, Te'eva is an umbrella term for all the, even the Ishtanida. And Balik the Abaye, he uses, he applies Te'eva as Abaye does. Damar Abaye, as Abaye teaches us. Interesting, almost like an irony. You have Zayna, Oyved Es Kechav, a non-Jewish Zayna. So by her, since she's a bona fide Zayna, she has that status, Esnana Asr. The Esnana given to her is Asr. But not so by a Zayna, who's a Yisraelis. Why? My time, Uksiv Hacha Te'evo. By the Esnan, it says the word Te'evo. Uksiv Hasam, and by the Arayis in general, it also says, Ki Kol Asher Yasim Kol HaTe'evo Yisrael. All these abominations. So make a connection, Xerosh. We compare the two, Malahalon, just like by the Arayis. It's speaking about a type of union which has no permissible option. It doesn't even have a legal option in any form. Relatives, etc. Arayis she'en kedushin toifsin bo. You can't activate kedushin by those women. So that type of union is completely illegal. Hachanam here is all by the esnan. It only applies to a union which has no legal option. Such as with a Oyved Es Kechav Goy. Ein Kedushin Toivsin Bo. Dafka by a relative which has no Kedushin. A Zoyna which is a Goy. But an Isha Yisrael, who technically he can marry. So even though she has the status of a Zoyna, it doesn't count in terms of an Esna. On the other hand, when it comes to a Kohen who's forbidden to get involved with a Zoyna. So there, it turns around. It reverses. Davka Azoina Israelis, he'll be accountable for. But if he gets involved with a Goyish Azoina, he doesn't get Malkus. If a Goyin gets involved with a Goyish Azoina, Ein Loika Alem Shem Zoina, he doesn't get Malkus on account of that union. My time, why? I'm a crow. The Pasuk in warning against that says, Leichal Zari, be careful. You shouldn't disqualify his offspring from being Kayhanim. Well, guess what? If he gets involved with a guy, his children aren't really, those offspring aren't really his. They don't identify with the father. They're labeled as guy. Misha, Zaram, Yichas, Achrab. It's only an issue. In a case where the offspring would relate to the father, hey, you disqualify them, you get Malkus. Yotzai, Vez, Kechum, as opposed to being involved with a guy. Dein, Zaram, Yichas, Achrab. Those offspring don't relate to him. And Abai continues, Zoyna Yisraelis is not a mutter. So the esnan given to a goyish zoyna is asr, but given to a Yisraelis zoyna, that's mutter. Matam doha kedushin toiv simba. Reason is because technically he can kaddish or he can marry you. So that union isn't completely, totally, comprehensively illegal. There's an element of potential legality to it. So there's no esnan there, but there is malchus for the kohen. Who gets involved in, the, in that case? The Kohen gets involved with this Israeli Zayin. He gets malchus. My time with the Hazar and Yichas Achrab was in this case. The children do relate to the father. They're considered Kayanim and they're disqualified Kayanim because of this experience. So interesting. The Zayin label. On the one hand, it relates stronger to the Eved Es Kechav with respect to the Esnan, because there it's about illegality, as opposed to the Zayin Yisraelis, where there's an element of potential legality. You can be Mekadosh. That's regarding Esnan. Regarding Malkus to a Kohen getting involved in, with his Zayin, there it's exactly the opposite. By the Yisraelis, he gets Malkus, by the Kohen not. Okay, so we found the Rabbi utilizes Te'eva, mentioned by the Esnan, to connect it to Arayis, to learn the parameter of Esnan. It has to be something which is totally off limits, has no element of potential legality. And likewise, Rav will use the word Te'eva for this purpose as well. Ve'Rava Amar, Rava totally disagrees on both accounts. He says we don't differentiate. Ve'Zayna Yisraelis, Zayna Ve'Vedes Kechav. In both cases, the Esnan is an Esnan, and a Kohen would get Malkus. Rava Amar Echad Ve'Chazeh, whether it's this or that, Esnan Asur, the Esnan is Asur. Ve'Kohen Abolam Look Mishum Zayna. There's Malkus for the Kohen. My time in Malfim Adodi. They learn from each other. Compare notes, just like. Esnan applies to the Goy, it applies to the Yid, just like the Malkus to the Kohen applies to the Yid, applies to the Kohen. Ma Zoyne Yisraelis Balav, Av Zoyne Evetz Kechom Balav. Just like by the Yisraelis, there's a Lav to the Kohen, there's Malkus, likewise by the Goy. And the same with the Esnan. We don't differentiate. Ma Esnan, Zoyne Evetz Kechom also, just like by the Zoyne Evetz Kechom, the Esnan is also. Same thing with the Zoyne Yisraelis, Esnan Zoyne Yisraelis also. So according to Rava, there is no such law that the Esnan is specific to a union which has no legal element to it. No, even if it has a legal element. But if she's a Zoyna, a woman who strays, the Esnan is also. Okay, so in summation, according to Abaye, in terms of Esnan, it only applies to something which has no marriageable element to it, no potential kiddush, no potential legality. A Goya, an Arayis, as opposed to Rabbah, who says it applies to any woman. Even a Zayni Yisraelis. Even if technically there could be Kedushin there, but the fact is, in this specific instance, it's an inappropriate union. In which case, the Esnan given on that account, it relates to that union, is considered Esnan Zayna and Azos. Maybe here comes Akash. However, Bryce, it's going to be a kasha on Abaye, because from this Bryce, it's going to sound like even a Zayni Yisraelis, where there technically could be kedushin, the union isn't outright, you know, illegal, no instances. There's still a status of Esnan. Meis ve'echad Zayna ivedes kechavim, ve'echad Zayna Yisraelis, Esnan also, it's a kasha on Abaye, tivte Abaye, noch Abaye. So we'll go with a lot of different versions here in the Gemara. We'll go with the Shittim Kubetz's version. Amal Chabayis, if I respond, Kiktani Ha. Yeah, this Bryce actually is speaking only Barayis. Situations of relatives, etc. Shein Kedushin Tov Simba. So when the Bryce speaks about Zayni Yisraelis, it's not just a single woman. We're talking about a woman who's an erva on him. She's a relative or whatever, where there's no Kedushin option whatsoever. That's why there's Esnan. As per my position, the Esnan is only in a case where there's no Kedushin option on this union. Really? What can you say? If you look at the next part of the Brayso, which speaks about more, you know, conventional types of union. Almana, the Kohen Gadol gets involved with an Almana and he gives her Esnan. Or a Grusha, the divorcee of a Chalutza, woman had Chalitza, the Kohen Yed, to a regular Kohen. The payment given for that union is not as Osir. Well, honey, Kedushin types of men, these are examples of, yes, Kedushin option, right? If a Kohen is not supposed to marry a Grusha, but if he does, the Kedushin takes effect. You're telling me Esnan is specific to non-Kedushin situations? How many Rebbe Kiva? No, because this Bryce is going like Rebbe Kiva Dama, who says, in Kedushin types of men, even when there's a law holding back this union, so it's not as severe as, let's say, Kares or Misa, still, if it's a forbidden union, even on account of a law, Kedushin will not take effect. And that's exactly what the Bryce is teaching, as per my position. Yes, well, Kamash, the Bryce is teaching us, by citing these examples, the Chol Zoyna Litavsi Bokidushin. The Esnan is only considered as such if the union relates to a situation where it's a non-Kedushin scenario. Dumid Almano, Litavsi Bokidushin, just like Bali Almano, the Kohen Gadol, where there's no Kedushin option. So why it turns things around, just the opposite. If anything, this Bryce is stating, presenting my position. Esnan is specific to a non-Kedushin scenario. Ula Rav. Now going to Rav, the Esnan relates even to a yes Kedushin type of union. So why the Bryce cite as an example the Amon of the Kohen Gadol? Even a ordinary woman who has no, you know, special status. Single isha, pnuya. Single isha is not married, not divorced, not, right? That type of inappropriate union would generate an esnan. Dumi da alman. The answer is like this. The Braisa is highlighting a certain point by comparing it to the almana. In what way? Ma almana loylaki ademastripa. We know that a kohen gadol cannot be involved with an almana. True. But malchus, actual punishment, will only be applied if he was warned ahead of time. So it needs to be an element of verbalization to trigger the accountability, right? Avzoina, likewise. The esnan of avzoina by a woman who's not really officially classified as an erva, a relative, whatever, just a plain woman, ado amar helich. Interesting. So if you just give it to her outright without expressing anything, it would not be considered an esna. It's like a gift, unless he specifies, he verbalizes it. This is the esnan for you. This is the payment, this is the fee for the union. That expression, that verbalization, is what makes it a union which we classify as nus. You see, if she was already a designated erva for whatever reason, you'd only have to specify it. Of course, this union is nus. It's total deviation by virtue of the fact, by virtue of her identity. So even sans verbalization, it's considered esnan. By definition, it's esnan for his nus. But if she's just a woman without a title, without a status, not a relative, not us or for any special reason, it's just an improper type of union. Out of marriage type of union. So that could only be considered esnan if he specified this is for the union. This is your esnan. This is what classifies, this is what gives it status as an act of znus. Now, this is Rava's opinion, but there's going to be a third opinion as well. La pukim de Rabbi Lazar, as opposed to Rabbi Lazar, who says you don't have to verbalize it. By the very virtue of the fact that they're having this improper union and he's paying for it, that makes it an esnan. La pukim de Rabbi Lazar, de Rabbi Lazar, even a pun, an unmarried fellow, a bala pnuya, gets involved with an unmarried woman. Shalosh shemisha is not in terms of marriage. Asa zoyna, it turns into a zoyna. So this union, by definition, is a zoyna. The gift given for it is an esnan as well. Now, the Gemara concludes, even according to Rava, this expression is only needed when this is her first improper union, so he has to sort of turn her into a zayna. Avlecha the zayna meikara, let's say she was already an established zayna, she's involved with other people. Hachramid also, of course. Even without verbalizing it automatically, it's an esnam, because she, by a virtue of her status, is already a zayna. See, without expressing it, would be considered a zayin as well. Okay, this is a little complicated. So really, it's three shittas here. Abaye, Rava, and Rav Elazar. According to Abaye, esna is specific to a union where there's no kedushin option, a relative, a goy. According to Rava, even when there is a kedushin option, the esna is aser. However, if she hasn't been established as a zayna yet, so only with verbalizing it does it turn to an esna. Otherwise, she's already an established zayna, you don't have to verbalize it. Even if she hadn't yet established herself, by its very virtue, this union is considered an act of znus, hence, the gift is an esna. Lishnachrina, there was a different version of the response. So the kasha was presented to Abaye from the Braisa, where it seems like even if it's a yes, kedushin option type of union, it's still considered as nus and esnan. The answer is kiktani ha, barayas shein to kedushin type symbol. Yes, in fact, we're talking about arayas where there's no kedushin option, that's why there's esnan. About ktani seifa, almanu kohen gadol. But the rayas itself cites an example of almanu kohen gadol, and that's a yes, kedushin type of scenario. Gerusha v'chalutz kohen hedi. There too, Asnan is Asr, Vahani Kedushin Taishin Bayan. These types of unions, Amayin Lekayin Gadol, Kedushin can take effect. Right? So why is there an Asnan? The answer is like this, Hamani, Rabbi Lazahi. So by response, we turn to the next element, that this price is in line with Rabbi Elazar, who in fact holds that differently than the Chachamim. Abai says, I go like the Chachamim, that Esnan has a very limited realm, only in a non-conditioned type of union. According to Rabbi Elazar, any type of znus qualifies for Esnan. Rabbi Elazar said, Omar, even upon me, Abala Pnuya, Shleishem Isha, so Zoyna makes her a Zoyna, she asks her to marry a coin. So any type of out of marriage type of union is considered an act of znus and gives it the status of a Zoyna, and the Esnan is considered an Esnan. Ask the Gemara, Rabbi Elazar, well, it's going like Rabbi Elazar, so why do we have to present an example of Aman Lekayin Gadol? Could have easily said, Apani Vila Pnuya. Rabbi Elazar, my area Aman Lekayin Gadol. Why did he have to present, you know, to bring out that the Esnan applies to Aman? Why? Nisni Pnuya? Could you just simply state it, a case of an unmarried woman having this improper union? What's the point of pointing out Almana? Almana is true. There is a point to mentioning Almana. I would think that's better. How could Almana be better? Sakhdaita Chamei, there was room to think, Hoyelu binyan avu in yitasru. Since, Kodja Belezer, when the Kohen warns, when the Torah warns the Kohen against getting involved with a Zayna, Kodja Belezer means an unmarried woman. Without any special status. Not a divorcee, not a, just any unmarried woman. Is it necessary to get on, right? So maybe we should learn from Binyan. We should learn from there. It should be like a father example. We should learn from there to the definition of Esnan Zoyna as well. Maybe it's specific to a Pnuya without any special status. But if there's any additional layer of Isra, any additional status, any additional reason for Isra on that union, maybe it sounds worse, right? But maybe that doesn't qualify as nus regarding Esna. Kamashma, the point is, yes. Just because it's worse doesn't make it better. No, the fact is, it's an improper union, which according to Belezer qualifies for Esna, whether she's just plain Pnuya, whether she has other additional titles as well, other reasons for Isser. And Esna it is. Okay, so just recap the last tickle here. What kind of union does Esnan apply to? Even to a Zohar? Ishtanidas machloikis? Zoynov lo zoneh, as opposed to gifted to the man, that's not a qualifying Esnan. There are three shitas. Abaye says it's specific to a non-kedushin type of union, situation where there is no potential for kedushin, like a relative, like a goyter, according to Rava. Even a yes kedushin type of union, if it's improper, it's considered an Esnan. However, in some cases he has to specify and call it out. According to Rabbi Elazar, he doesn't have to call it out. Any type of improper union qualifies for znus and by extension is considered an esnan. Okay, all the best to you. Hatzlacha.